I'd like to again welcome those who are newly arrived. Welcome to Gita Nagari Dham. We're very fortunate to be gathered here together. One of my godbrothers, Akuranath Guru, has not seen Sri Sri Radha Damodar for how many years?
At least 27 years.
So he came all the way from California. It's a double mission. He came for a wedding and he's going to leave us after some time. But he came here to take darshan and get the mercy of these most merciful deities. And we're here for 5 days with these most merciful deities, so we should be appealing fervently for these most merciful deities to give their mercy to us and all, one and all, that our time spent here to get more intimately associated with the Supreme Lord in the form of His holy name, by their mercy that can be made possible. And Srila Prabhupada's great mercy. I'm very happy to be here with all of you also. The theme of this morning's session is chanting with taste. So I thought a nice place to begin is Srimad Bhagavatam. That's always a nice place to begin. Where Srila Vyasadeva is imparting some nice instruction about chanting with taste. The verse is on the board. We're not going to chant the verse. It's text 24 of chapter 3, the change of heart verse. Certainly that heart is steel framed, which, in spite of chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, like we all tried to do this morning, at least tried, in spite of chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, that heart that does not change, when ecstasy takes place, tears fill the eyes and hairs stand on end. Prabhupada writes in the purport at least 8 times where change of heart, change of heart. In fact, he subtitled the whole chapter, Change of Heart, Pure Devotional Service, : Change of Heart. Those of you that missed us yesterday, one of our little mascots, or the change from being a little caterpillar to a butterfly, very colorful, beautiful. Of course, different butterflies are of different colors and different spots and different, but all very colorful. And all very happy to fly joyfully, freely. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam, all souls are desiring that freedom of unfettered movement. But even the butterfly has fettered movement. But when packed up with Krishna, it's in relation to Narada Muni, in the first canto, where he can travel anywhere. He doesn't need a 747 or a passport or a visa. He just chants the holy name of the Lord and zoom, zoom, off he goes to wherever the Lord sends him. And the Lord sends him to the right places at the right time, and he says the right things to change people's hearts because he's just completely surrendered to the personality of Godhead. And he was the caterpillar before. Like every one of us, just kind of an obscure nobody, moping around, wondering what's it all about. But he became transformed completely. And the holy name, according to our beloved Srimad Bhagavatam, is meant to bring that transformation about. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. So, with the progress of devotional service, the reaction of change in the heart is exhibited by gradual detachment. Remember from yesterday, we're going to massage these themes slowly. The symbolic death, remember that phrase. Leaving something behind and embracing something new. Shelter Krishna with the something new. And leave behind is this world of sense gratification where we're just searching for some kind of temporary flickering happiness that turns into ashes and suffering and grief. How long do we need to do that? Long enough. Let's make some change. The change agent is the holy name, if we're ready. Detachment, gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment by a false sense of lording it over the world, and an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. Vidhi bhakti, or regulated devotional service, by the limbs of the body, namely ears, eyes, tongue, nose, hands, legs, etc. It's already explained before. It's now stressed herein in relation to the mind, which is the impetus for all activities of the limbs of the body. Here it comes again. It is expected by all means that by discharging regulated devotional service, one must manifest the change of heart. If there is no such change, the heart will be considered steel-framed, for it is not melted even when there is chanting of the holy names of the Lord. We must always remember that hearing and chanting are the basic principles of discharging devotional duties, and if they are properly performed, there will follow the reaction of ecstasy with signs of tears in the eyes and standing of hairs in the body. They are natural consequences and are the preliminary symptoms of the bhava stage, which occur before one reaches the perfectional stage of prema, love of God. So we're far from there. We're in the vidhi sadhana bhakti stage. And as discussed yesterday, we're here. What happened? Because we're all sadhakas, we're all devotees that are chanting our prescribed rounds. But we'd like to go beyond just chanting our prescribed rounds. We want to go more deeply into the chanting of the holy name. We have an eternal relationship with Krishna, but that eternal relationship with Krishna is obscured, blocked, checked by what we just heard, this long involvement with matter and our insistence of trying to find happiness in the realm of matter. Very determined. Despite all obstacles and all odds and all experiences, we're very determined. It reminds me of Jarasandha. So determined to defeat Krishna. How many times? He was totally smashed. Huge armies, and Krishna stood before the huge armies and single-handedly smashed Jarasandha. Each time left him with but an inch of his life and sent him home shamed. He came back again the next time and the next time. So determined. We should be so determined. We have an eternal relationship with Krishna, but that relationship is forgotten. Something that Prabhupada would say many times is, all religions teach love of God, but without knowing who is God, how can you love Him? So they say, God is good and God is great, but how great? That they do not know, right? That they do not know. But if we can understand how great He is, just by being in a very wonderful person's association, even very, very briefly, later I'm going to give some examples in relation to Prabhupada and other great, great souls. But even in the worldly sense, and from our limited experience with not personalities of perfected platform, but by some association, one can develop some appreciation for those persons. Just like those of you, though, I'm going to embarrass a couple of devotees. Please forgive me for this. Some of you were here for the kirtan yesterday. And during the kirtan, we were all gathered around the holy name. And, of course, leading us in kirtan was Badahari. And he wasn't just leading us in the, as they said in the chronicle, the Penn State Chronicle, is that it? A collegiate? Collegian? There was a day before yesterday, there was a on-campus Janmashtami celebration about an hour from here at Penn State, and the newspaper said the call and response singing. So he's the caller and we're the responders. But Badahari was experiencing some, those tuned into the chanting, he was experiencing something maybe we weren't experiencing, some transcendental happiness. And he was experiencing that transcendental happiness. It inspired us to also enter into that transcendental happiness just by association. So although a number of you don't know him, but there's some attraction. And wait till this weekend is over. There'll be a very strong attraction. And likewise, he appreciated, you may take it was just a humble expression, he said, it was really nice to chant with all of you. Well, that's nice. But he meant it. Because I know Badahari. It's not just he said it because it's a nice thing to say, a socially nice thing to say. He meant it. He enjoys being with devotees that want to chant the holy name in a meaningful way. So through getting to know another person, some attraction for the person, some attachment for the person, some deep feelings for the person. Now we're in our subject, chanting with feeling. By getting to know the holy name through association with the holy name and hearing the glories of the holy name and chanting with those who have some taste and some appreciation for the holy name, that taste can awaken within us. This is the theme of what I intend to present today. Now to unfold that theme a little bit. A question that we likely asked ourselves before coming here, and we're being prompted to ask this question again and again while here. What can I do to improve the quality of my chanting? I want to improve the quality of my chanting. What to do to improve the quality of chanting? So one simple answer is chant with devotion. So what does chant with devotion mean? Where do you get it? It's not at Walmart and Kmart. You can't buy it online. How do you get devotion? Where do you find it? What does it mean? So one of our acharyas has given a one word indicator of what devotion means. We could supply a number of one words: love, surrender, enthusiasm. Take that enthusiasm and make it stronger and say obsession, commitment, feeling. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given this one word, Trishna. What does Trishna mean? Hope. Hankering? Thirst. In Harinam Chintamani, a book written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has given in the Anartha Nivritti section of that book, he's described that there's three categories of anarthas. One of the categories of anarthas is offense. That brings rise to anarthas, unwanted things in the heart. The second one that he gives is Hridaya Dorbalyam, which we find in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, "My dear Arjuna, how is this petty weakness of heart overcome you? You're an Aryan. Anarya Jushtam Asvaryam." This behavior, this Hridaya Dorp, you know what you need to do. This is the gap topic we talked about yesterday. You know what you need to do, and you don't do it. What's that? Weakness of heart. And it gives rise to something that's going to fill in that gap. That's anartha is going to fill that gap. So intellectually we know, and we don't do, because of weakness of heart. And the third that he gives is asat trishna. Thirst, or asat. So, what's the antidote to asat trishna? It's Krishna trishna. Thirst for Krishna. Thirst for Krishna, or hunger. In Rupa Goswami's language of nectar devotion. It's eagerness. It's like intense volume, greed for those of you that were not here yesterday. Here's one of our for during this japa retreat, this symbolizes what we just spoke about. It's the eagerness, it's Lord Chaitanya reaching for the holy name. It's reaching for Lord Jagannath to embrace Krishna. Or he sees Chatak Parvat and he runs at full speed with his arms outstretched to reach Govardhan Hill and faints in ecstasy. Because you're just overcome with great eagerness. And with the same eagerness, he wants to, with both hands, give us the holy name, pure holy name. Take the pure holy name. And he sends Lord Nityananda, who's a madman. An Avadhuta, please take the holy name. Please take the holy name. And we're complacent because of Asat Krishna. So, increasing our Krishna Krishna, our thirst for the holy name, is our topic this morning. Thirst. So a little bit of what this means. If there's something, if we have a thirst for something, an eagerness for something, a taste for something, a hunger for something. You know, in the worldly sense, there are different objects that materialists have for taste. I sometimes see little children who sit there with their video games and they can play their video games for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And they're mesmerized. It's like, whoa, they don't get tired. Or the materialist, it's money. I've shared this in the past, but I had this experience where in the windy city of Chicago, we boarded a plane and, you know, some storm came blowing in, so they had us sitting on the plane, waiting on the runway with another 10 planes ahead of us, because if we go back, then we lose our spot, so we sat out on the runway. And the man next to me and his wife were a nice Jewish couple from New York City. And it was all about money. It was the stock market, what's going on in the stock market. You saw that one of those on the telephone, you know, that they have in the back seat in front of you. So he was telling what the Dow, I don't even know what all these things are, but the current price. So he called up his agent in New York because they allowed cell phones because we're just on the runway waiting. And, you know, check this commodity, that stock, that bond, sell 10 of those and buy 100 of those, boop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop, and pull that, you know. And then as soon as the plane landed, so how did it go? And I mean, not a moment. The whole conversation was about money, 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 money. And his wife was eager to share the conversation with money, 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 money. Imagine what his dreams are about. All day long. There's a thirst. Not that there's a thirst that it's like chasing the rainbow to find the pot of gold at the end, and you never find the pot of gold at the end, and then the rainbow disappears, and instead you find a pile of thorns. And it's very painful existence, but one has a taste. So, as far as we're concerned, this Asat Trishna has blocked our taste for the holy name, but it's the most natural thing that exists for us to have a thirst for Krishna on the soul platform. And the obstacle for us to experience that is the mind, because the mind is the repository of so many other desires. And so we have our sankalpa in this box. Here's the magnifying glass. It's to help us focus our chanting of the holy name upon whatever it was that your sankalpa was, to focus on bringing about a change from Asat Krishna to Krishna in the form of the holy name. That's the agency that, or the agent that Mahaprabhu has given us to bring us to our dormant love for Krishna through taste for the chanting of the holy name. So it's certainly effort has to be made from our side, but there's something that's very magical about taste, especially when the object is Krishna. And that is, it's the mercy, or the pulling, not just pushing, agency. Sachinandan Swami told this little story, so it's appropriate. I'll share a Ralph Waldo Emerson story. We all know Ralph Waldo Emerson. He's in the back of Bhagavad Gita because he liked Bhagavad Gita. I bathe my intellect daily in the cosmological substance of Bhagavad Gita. So he was a transcendentalist poet. But he was also, he liked, like we are here in a farm, he liked simple life, simple, peaceful settings. So one time when he was quite elderly, 59 years of age, on the farm where he was, there was a newborn calf. And the calf could barely walk, so he was trying to help the calf get back into the barn for safety and protection and security. So he started to push the calf. But just even a newborn calf, even calves can be stubborn like people. The calf decided it didn't want to go. It was pushing, and the calf was resisting. So his son came along, and son was pulling around the head and pulling the ear and pulling and pushing and pushing and pushing, and the calf wouldn't go. So Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, you know, he was very determined. I'm older, I'm not so strong, but I'm very determined. And so I pushed. We tried again. On three, one, two. The calf wouldn't move. So there was an Irish servant, a lady, and she saw the scene of these two men pushing the little calf that wouldn't move. She smiled. She took a bowl of milk, put her finger into the bowl of milk, and put the finger in the mouth of the calf, and very gently just moved her finger. And the calf went right into the barn. Message of the story is the pulling force has sometimes greater impact than the pushing force. So to go more deeply into the holy name, effort must be there for sure, but attention needs to go to the merciful nature of Krishna and how Krishna can attract us. When there's attraction to Krishna, then there's taste. Not just by forcing our, barging our, bullying our way into the sanctity of Krishna's holy name. Effort, yes. But this is now again resonating with the message of yesterday evening, where we should be in a receptive mode and be wishing to become attracted to Krishna and feel the pulling the attraction of Krishna to reach him. As I mentioned, we all got an invitation to come here. Well, except for Karanath, but he came for, he heard that we were going to be here. Got an invitation and we said, yes, I'd like to. And now Krishna is extending a further invitation. Come more intimately to me. Become attracted to me in the form of my holy name. So feel that pulling of Krishna and strive for that. Now, that's a nice idea. And supposing we're not there. Supposing we're where we are, struggling. And the thing that we're struggling with is the mind. And we're trying to direct the mind to Krishna's holy name. There's a very wonderful publication. Now, it's a scriptural reference for the moment, where the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam has been published. I believe Bhanu Swami translated it. It's very, very, very nice. Very similar to what Bhurijan has done with now this publication of the first four cantos of the Bhagavatam by blending Prabhupada's purports and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Baladev's purports and Jiva Goswami, Sandarvas. So to get a deep sense of the holy of the Bhagavatam's message. So chapter 87 of the 10th canto. Chapter 87 of the 10th canto is the longest chapter in the whole 10th canto. Prayers by personified Vedas. And if you really like philosophy, read that chapter. And if you don't like philosophy, just skip over it. It's a nice chapter. But it's the four Kumaras and the personified Vedas discussing very, very deeply a very important subject matter which we're just going to touch upon by the mercy of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The topic is, our topic, how it relates to us is, how the mind, which is material and stubborn like the little calf, was being stubborn with Ralph Waldo Emerson. How the mind, which is material, can fix upon something spiritual. We know this from Sri Brahma Samhita, with the mind, traveling at the speed of the mind, or the speed of the wind. For millions of years, you can never reach Krishna. So how can the mind reach Krishna? Here's Vishwanath Chakravarti. That's the question that's being discussed in that chapter. It's a nice. So, put it in real simple terms, how do you reach the spiritual side when the instruments, the vehicles that you have is material? How do you become spiritual when you're stuck in this material place? Spin your wheels faster? Huh. Here in Gita Nagari, there was that one big festival, I think it was a Rath Yatra. They had all the cars park in that pasture ground before you come through the trees. And all the cars were stuck. And they were spinning their wheels. And mud was flying. Not in all directions, only in the back direction. And all the people were pushing from the back and they were getting completely sprayed with mud. What do you do? We're stuck in this material space when we want a spiritual goal. That's the question that's being asked in chapter 87. That's why it's so long. But here's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. He paraphrases the subject. A man A devotee of the Lord is sitting in meditation with his mind upon Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, but the mind is material. The Krishna is spiritual. So the Lord looks at the situation and says, isn't it very nice? My devotee is trying to meditate upon me. And the instrument that he's trying to use is something material. But he's so sincere. Let me help him. This is the dynamic Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is giving us, like a childlike view of what's happening, but a very personal view of what's happening. So after the Lord's decision or his commitment to help that nice devotee who's trying to fix it, you know, think of in terms of our chanting, we're trying. This is the pulling aside. He then says, the mind is like a lake. And the Lord makes waves in that lake that then move and touch the devotee who is on the other shore of that lake. And being touched by the waves generated by the Lord, the devotee feels very happy. Because so the mind has changed by the Lord moving the mind or spiritualizing the mind by his touch. So from our side, this is the pulling factor. From our side, we make some effort. But on the other side, there's the Lord. And in chanting the holy name effectively, there is this relationship. It's real. And one who extends themselves with faith, that's the commodity price. The price of experiencing Krishna through the chanting of the holy name is our faith. And with faith propels the effort. Our Lord Chaitanya calling, and we can similarly call the personality of Godhead in that way. There's a very corollary with this is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur described what chanting of the pure holy name is. Immediately connect with this message. He said the chanting of the holy name means chanting of the pure holy name, just like bhakti means shuddha bhakti. Bhakti is shuddha, not mixed. Bhakti is shuddha. Anyabhilashato shunyam jnana karma dhyanavatam. Bhakti is pure. So it's not just a matter of making a sound with the mouth, and that's chanting. We're all making sounds with our mouths. And the sound can be sound very much like the holy name. But he says that one can make a machine that makes that sound, and that's not chanting. Or one can train a bird to make that sound. That's not chanting. So what's the difference? And he explained, the difference is when the soul calls out to Lord Nityananda, oh Lord Nityananda, please deliver the pure holy name. And when that pure holy name touches the heart, then when one chants the holy name, that is chanting the pure holy name. That's chanting. So we're doing this other program now. It's good. There's certainly some submission. There's certainly some faith. So there's something that we're experiencing, and there's certainly a benefit from that something that we're experiencing. But our pilgrimage this weekend is to go more deeply to another level of chanting the holy name. Calling out, Lord Nityananda, please be merciful. He's merciful. Please be merciful. Please be what you are. Be merciful upon me and us and deliver the pure holy name. Then that chanting is, that is chanting. That's taste. So that's our topic this morning, chanting with taste. How does that taste develop? Well, it's natural. It's already there. Love of God is already there, as we read in this morning's purport. But that's mature, the love of God. So that's just a little taste, please. Rupa Goswami writes, O Lord, just as young boys are naturally inclined to young girls, and young girls are naturally inclined to young boys, in the same way, let my taste for you arise. So, before a certain stage, that's not a liking. In fact, girls may think, boys, they're too rough. They play rough and tumble. I don't like being around those boys. And the boys may think, oh, she can't throw a football. She's no fun. She can't kick the soccer ball. She can't run fast enough. They're useless, girls. Something happens over time. Now that's the body maturing, reaching the stage of puberty, and then there's something else starts to happen. But it's comes through maturity. That's a material example. But Rupa Goswami calls upon that material example to say that my attraction, my taste, that's now not present, become like that. So this is a sankalpa. We're not there yet, but it's something that we aspire for. It's a desire that's beyond our reach, but we know it exists, and we aspire for that. It focuses our attention. Kuranath knows this one very example, the expression from Vaisheshika Prabhu. I've heard so many times that I like very much. Where attention goes, energy flows. This is our sankalpa. We're not in a mature stage. We're here to become more. And so our attention should go there. When chanting, we chant, but help focus our mind on the holy name that's assisted by this attention, this expectation, the desire, or anticipation, or cultivation. Energy flows. Because the other way will also work. Money, 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 money. Or whatever is one's sankalpa in life, a material variety. Here's another example from Rupa Goswami in his writing. Just as a lover repeats the name of the beloved. Now, it's not just, you know, Romeo and Juliet or West Side Story or something. You know, so it's a classic theme. Rupa Goswami is referring to that, you know, without singing the song. Sing the name of their beloved again and again and again and again and again. They never tire of singing that name of their beloved again and again. So Rupa Goswami prays his sankalpa. In the same way, let me recite your name and repeat it again and again. So there's taste. Now here's, in a mature stage, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antilila, chapter 1, text 99 is a verse taken from Rupa Goswami's Vidanta Madhava, where he prays, "I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth." Prabhupada said, Krishna's dancing on your tongue when you're chanting. It appears to dance within the mouth. When we then desire many, many mouths, and when that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. The mind is driving in our, so there's no taste. It's just what the mind wants is capturing our attention instead. Withdraw attention from that, that asat Krishna, and hanker for this taste for Krishna. In our stage, we'll go jump ahead. Ramabhadra shared this with me just this past week on Janmashtami and Vyasa Puja. He was discussing with one senior devotee, Prabhupada disciple, who was in Prabhupada's association, and was asking Prabhupada, how does it work? If you know, we've been good devotees, and how do we go from this present embodiment condition to Krishna Loka? Very confidential subject. But Prabhupada answered. Here was Prabhupada's answer. He gave a condition. If you are mature, if you reach the stage of maturity in your devotion, if you are ready, then when you leave this body, I will be waiting for you by the edge of a grove, and I will take you by the hand, and within the grove I will take you before Krishna. And Krishna will smile, and I will then leave you with Krishna. It will be like that. And of course, the possibilities of what that might be is unlimited possibilities, depending upon so many, whatever Krishna wants, can be unlimited possibilities. And whatever your mind might imagine, it's probably going to be something else, whatever that something else is, according to Krishna's indication. So now back to our level, we're chanting the holy name, and we want to go more deeply into the chanting of the holy name. And we're trying and trying, and it's not happening in work. Then we, Krishna, Lord Nityananda, please deliver the pure holy name. And if there is sincerity on our side, Krishna may allow some entrance to something more of a glimpse of Him. And that something more of a glimpse of Him may be a removal of some dirt, some attachment, some yucky thing in our heart. And we go, no, no, I want that yucky thing in my heart. It's my most cherished possession. I'm attached. But if we can let go of that attachment and just even one step closer to Krishna and feel that Like I was describing yesterday, this experience that Rasagyal was sharing, that just Krishna just lifted her up during the Japa retreat. It was just so wonderful. But then she was realizing the other part was also so wonderful. Because it's just removing of those things that are standing in the way of our directly encountering Krishna. So this is taste. There's our topic. It's where, it's not what the experience is of, you know, do I feel I'm at a peak or I'm down at a valley and this is nice and that's not nice. It's being in one's relationship with Krishna. So, chanting from the heart or chanting with feelings. This, my sankalpa, I don't want to go into it too much, but has to do with chanting from the heart and serving from the heart more. Without going into details. So many things, and it's really easy to get separated from doing things from the heart. It doesn't feel right. I don't want to be there. I want to be. So that's my sankalpa, part of it. How do intense feelings arise, waken in the heart? And those intense feelings become so intense that spontaneously one starts to cry with such, just the emotion is so strong. And there are different circumstances that can bring that about. Worldly circumstances that can bring about intensification of emotion. When there is this loss, this horrific loss of something, that's very, you hold very near and dear. Or sometimes when there's great feelings of gratitude, when something has happened and it just touches your hearts all of a sudden, just like last time we were here for the Memorial Weekend, I was just sharing with the devotees. In general, you know, a little bit of, someone had asked about the history of Gita Nagari, and I was describing, and at a certain point just was overwhelmed with appreciation of what sacrifice Bhakti Tirtha Swami made to come here to Gita Nagari and try to make the vision of Srila Prabhupada manifest. And just, it struck me, it wasn't at all anticipated, it just moved me so much. Became choked up. And so with appreciation, strong feelings of gratitude, appreciation, loss, sometimes just feeling helpless. Those aren't bad feelings. Those are very rich feelings. And we want to awaken our transcendental emotions in relation to the holy name. So when those feelings come during the course of this retreat, I expect some of those feelings of all those varieties will awaken. Perhaps someone will have the experience that how much they've received from so many devotees in so many places and how hard their hearts have received it. It can be very transforming. So one of the ways to awaken those feelings is to be in the association of those who are having those feelings. When I remember there was a period of time, perhaps Badahari remembers this, in Akuranath, when Tamal Krishna Maharaj was really into drama. And he created that, I think he called it Jagannath Priya Natakam, the drama of King Indradumna that was searching for Neela Madhava. Did you see that presentation in Mayapur? Either of you?
I've
Mother Kalini here? Anybody see that drama? It was really amazing. For those of you that know something about Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was a perfectionist. He couldn't do something halfway or good. He had to be perfect. So he got really into drama and studied in detail drama, the rules of drama. Then he created a drama and got expert musicians from Calcutta to come to Mayapur. He trained them and went through it, you know, in the Tamal Krishna Maharaj way, hundreds and hundreds of times, so it was perfect. And he put on this drama in Mayapur. And there were several showings, and I went twice and I couldn't handle it after the second time. Because it was just the actors and the music and the whole science of drama is meant to stir transcendental emotion. That's really what drama, it's not, you know, the other stuff that goes on today. It's to awaken emotions in relation to Krishna. And by the time you got to, you knew exactly what the plot was. And Indradumna would come to the place where Leela Madhava was, and Leela Madhava was gone. And the music and the mood, and just like everybody was sobbing buckets of tears. It's just a drama. Just a bunch of musicians playing, you know, instruments and actors on stage. But there's those transcendental emotions are there, and one can awaken those transcendental emotions in the company of those that are very expert at awakening transcendental emotions. So similarly, we have very, very expert liberated souls, perfected souls, who want to give that experience to us also. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, is that. Where Srila Prabhupada in his Bhaktivedanta purports wants to give that through his, a big part of it is we're so determinedly associated with enjoying matter, even we know better. Hridaya Dorabalyam and Asat Trishna and Aparad, and we want Krishna. Well, you're not going to get Krishna with that. So great souls can carry you to the other side with their transcendental emotion. So put a pause on that, and there's our musicians. Where's Ananda Vrindavan and Prema Tarangini? You ready? You ready? Please get together. I'll just stall for some time while you do that. You're gonna do something with it? Okay. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in giving his Shikshastakam, just like Krishna Smarana mentioned that one of his sankalpas is to experience, appreciate in a more deep and genuine way the import of Shikshastakam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that this Shikshastakam, one of the ways to view Shikshastakam is, it's a sadhana, it's a step by step to take us before Krishna through the chanting of the holy name. So it's with great feeling, transcendental feeling. How do we resonate or enter into that transcendental feeling of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hankering for Krishna's association? Here's a demonstration through musical accompaniment. Are we ready? I can't hear you. The feedback. Just Just say it. Say it right into the microphone.
Should we start with the Shikshastakam verse or the other verse?
Let's start with the Shikshastakam verse. Ainanda Tanuja Kinkara. Turn the direction of the speaker, maybe.
Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Maam Vishame Bhavam Buddhau Kripayatama Prada Pankaja Sita Dhuli Padrishim Vichintaya Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Maam Vishame Bhavam Buddhau Kripayatama Prada Pankaja Your servant for eternity, I lost my true identity and fell into this horrid sea of birth and death, O Lord. O Nanda's son, please hear my plea. By your sweet grace, consider me a speck of dust upon your lotus feet forevermore.
The poeticized translation is Dravidas, and those of you that know Dravida know that he has a great taste for chanting shlokas, and that taste for chanting shlokas is beyond the romantic stage where it's just something nice to dabble with and spend some time, so you know he can get some aesthetic appreciation. But what he does, and here what he's done, is he's taken the essence, that is, Lord Chaitanya is offering a prayer with great feeling. Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram, to the son of Nanda Maharaj. He's imbibed the spirit of that prayer, how it's touched his heart, and then he's come out with his own personal expression of that, which, when he performs, especially does the whole Shikshastakam in this way, it moves the heart, because his heart has been moved, and he's sharing that. Here's another. I'm going to read the translation. This is the very same verse, and how that Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram verse has touched the heart of Mahanidhi Swami. O son of Nanda Krishna, king of the country of love, I appeal for your affection. I am your servant. I feel deep within myself that I have some connection with you. I am subordinate to you. But somehow, I am now in adverse circumstances. There's so many enemies within me trying to take me away from you. Therefore, I cannot give my full attention to you and your holy name. At the same time, I feel from the deepest place in my heart that you are my master. You are all and everything to me. My heart is never satisfied with your companionship, without your companionship. So I appeal to you. I am under unfavorable circumstances. I am suffering. And without your grace, you do not find any relief from my present imprisoned condition. Lots of feeling. It's not puppets. It's not the machine that says it, or the parrot that says it. It's Lord Chaitanya's mood, his feeling has touched Mahanidhi Swami's heart, and he's entered into that mood and expressed it in his own words. Not a literal translation any more than Dravida's is, you know, word for word translation, but it's the mood. So through prayer. And through deep contemplation in the mood of prayer, we're going to have a whole section on prayer. But it connects you to the persons and the mood of those persons who are offering various prayers. When I was a new devotee, still a new devotee, but years I was a new devotee in the Boston temple. And as a college student, just before living in the temple, I thought of myself as a poet. I was trying to be a poet or something like that. So I was spending some time composing some poetry. And somebody tapped me on the shoulder and gave me some good advice. They said, but he did it so nicely. He said, this is very nice. Like in empowering words. This is very nice. You'd like to compose some poems, appreciation of Krishna. But why don't you try this? Take the prayers and the poems and the songs of our acharyas and contemplate very deeply again and again and again those prayers. And after you have entered into those prayers, then compose some poetry. I thought, that's very nice. I got too busy with Sankirtan and so many other things to do that. But it wasn't a diversionary tactic. It was wise advice. I just got distracted. I found some other way of expressing my appreciation for Krishna. But we can associate with those that have feeling by the boats to cross over the ocean of material existence that they've left behind them in the form of their transcendental writings. I'm going to give just a couple more examples of through association with a great soul how one can experience transcendental emotion. I'm sure some of you, if not most of you, have been present on Prabhupada appreciation events, you know, Prabhupada memories time, especially when it's live. 9 out of 10 have some component where they describe being in Prabhupada's presence. And when they were in Prabhupada's presence, often it was from the persons in the audience speaking, was in an audience. It was just like one of many people. And as Prabhupada, they described as Prabhupada looked around the room. They felt that he looked right at them. And he looked right through them. And he saw everything in their heart. He knew all the dirty things, all the sincere desire buried somewhere in their heart. And Prabhupada saw that and he accepted that offering. And they felt Prabhupada's love and they just choke when they tell that experience again. It just, that meant everything to them. You know, Prabhupada turned and he handed me a flower. And they can't, you know, that's like the most cherished moment of their life. Prabhupada handed them a flower. Because of who Prabhupada was. Or taking a step beyond. I heard Malati describe this one. She was a new devotee. She had become a devotee in San Francisco. And Prabhupada was coming from New York to San Francisco for the first time. And this was at a time when they didn't have TSA, Transportation Security Administration. We could go right to the gate where someone came in. And so if devotees could do that, imagine. So many devotees came to the San Francisco airport waiting for Prabhupada to come off the plane. And it was at the time we didn't pull up to, you know, going the jetway. It was they came out of the plane and walked. So they waited looking out the window with this, you know, explosive kirtan. I was a new devotee and I saw pictures of it. But I heard her description of it. She was there. And they didn't see Prabhupada come off the plane. They thought maybe he missed his flight. And she said, I was thinking, why does he need to take a plane anyway? He just like transport himself. That was the conception of Prabhupada's position. And then practically the last person to come up the little stairway was Prabhupada coming. And she said, this is very, very new in the movement. Nobody knew anything about how to properly receive the spiritual master. But everybody spontaneously did the same thing. They fell to the ground, paid obeisances. Wasn't trained, it was just spontaneous. And she said, her head was on the ground, and she was afraid to look up because she didn't know what she would experience. And she saw right in front of her forehead was Prabhupada's shoes. And she felt, my life is perfect, despite my head being by Prabhupada's shoes. And she looked up, and just this effulgence was so bright, you couldn't even see Prabhupada. It was just light everywhere. And as her eyes got adjusted, then she could see Prabhupada's smiling face. Just like, imagine that experience. First time in Prabhupada's presence. And Satyananda Swami told a story where Prabhupada was seated in the airport in Sweden waiting for departure. This is even further removed. People were passing, because the devotees were in the lounge seated around Prabhupada, and people were passing by gawking, what's happening over here. And one businessman, very well-dressed businessman, saw the scene, and he just paid obeisances right in the middle of the airport corridor just to be in Prabhupada's presence. Awakening of transcendental feelings, being in the presence of a person who has deep devotion for Krishna. So we can awaken our transcendental feelings in that way. And our acharyas are not only expert, they're daksha, it's one of the qualities of a devotee, but they're empowered to give that same, to transfer the same to us, which they have, if there's this wanting to receive it, eagerness from our side, even the beginning awakening. Even if we're dull, steel-hearted, stone-hearted, that can also awaken in transcendental association. One of the reasons for being in the association of the devotees. So if we want, final points, if we want that to happen somehow, we don't just kind of like hang out and wait for it to happen. There's something that we need to do. Now, introducing a Satchinandana Swami phrase is alignment. We have to bring our lives in alignment with that sankalpa. So we have to bring the elements together so that it can happen. He's given this example. If you want glob jamuns, you have to equip your kitchen with the ingredients to make glob jamuns, or it's not going to happen. Desire glob jamuns all you want. We have to equip our lives. We have to frame our lives in such a way that it's more likely to happen. And then we can make some endeavor with those ingredients. But then still, we're fully dependent upon Krishna. It's like Jai Jagannath's statement yesterday in his introduction of his sankalpa. We all want relationship. We all, not one person alone. We all want love. There isn't an exception. We want to give love and be loved. There's no exception to it. Then you have to assemble the ingredients. And it's not going to happen on Madison Avenue in Manhattan. Or, for that matter, it's not going to happen in the material world, as much as we may try. Something else will happen. And it's disappointment, because it's not the real thing. So we need the ingredients. In the session just after, we'll go into tools. And the purpose of these tools is that's the ingredients. We gather the ingredients. But the ingredients aren't going to create the experience. But they're tools to help. Desire has to be followed by appropriate action. So we want to awaken that desire. And the association is to help us. once Prabhupada was asked by one of his disciples, "Srila Prabhupada, I seem stuck. It seems that I'm not making progress in my Krishna consciousness. How can I make progress?" And Prabhupada gave this answer. We have to align our desire with proper activity. Very simple answer. Which is what I'm trying to express here also. If we have, this is the gap, if we have a particular desire, but we're still continuing in our comfort zone to do things that are inhibitory, that aren't conducive to, in fact, awakening of our transcendental attraction for Krishna, well, it's not going to happen. The glubjimans aren't going to happen. The love isn't going to happen. The desired thing isn't going to happen. We won't go anywhere with just a romantic appreciation of Krishna consciousness. I had some discussion with Barsana Maharaj about farm communities, because it was on the topic that, you know, the economy, the world economy, is crumbling and the price of commodities is escalating, where it's, you know, and as well, I don't need to go down the whole path, but you understand. It may very well happen that it, you know, at some point in time, petroleum fuel is going to run out. It's not unlimited. There's a recent development that in the state of West Virginia, they're paying people $500 an acre to let them drill for oil in West Virginia. So New Vrindavan has got a bonanza. But, you know, at some point they're going to run out of petroleum. And what's going to, the whole world is running on petroleum. You know, to get our goods, our commodities. What's going to happen? Somebody's going to have to, you know, we're going to need Ginanagaris, places where the basics that you require are going to be produced. But, you know, it's not going to happen just by romance. So, Varsana Maharaj was describing his experience with devotees that get together and try to do, you know, sustainable agriculture. There's this romantic phase. And then there's reality, just like getting married, those of you that are married and still married. There's the romance. And then when the romance moves into reality, then there's a whole other thing of staying with, in a relationship with somebody. It's not just romance. It's a whole other level of, and that's what we're addressing here with chanting of the holy name, with real feeling. Krishna is inviting us. He's ready. So the tools are to help us, but it's the desire, and in the company of others who have similar desire, to kindle more strongly that desire. I'm way past time, so I'm going to skip some other things I wanted to say, but it's, we have to bring our mind and to the holy name, back to this example of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Although the mind is material, it can be our best friend or block us from experiencing the holy name, experiencing Krishna in the holy name. So the Gopuram chart. Oh, look at that. Whoa. So this is an introduction to a chart that you're going to see. This is another Sachinandan Swami gift. He shared something with me in early April after the Japa retreats that he did. We spent some time together in New York, and he described that he's quietly working on an institute in Germany where he has 19, I think he said, full-time employed devotees working on this, to have an institute where he can take people from zero to Krishna. And he's he's described to me that there's four levels, and here he's used the term Gopurams. You know what Gopuram is? When you, those who have been to Sri Rangam, the gates, the big arch, and you go through one Gopuram or gate into another area, another level, and there's seven Gopuram, like the seven gates of Vaikuntha, and that's where Jai and Vijay were at the seventh gate, and they wouldn't let the four Kumaras enter. So these are gates, and inside the first gate is foundational, aligning the body so that it's conducive for entering into the spiritual realm, although it's just the body, and then the mind, and then the heart or feelings. This section has been chanting with feelings, but you can't get that without the others, so we'll cover some of the others in the next session. And then the final one is Krishna's grace. And his explanation is, Radha and Krishna are inside, they have the key, and it can only open from the inside. But they set the rules, right? So, so aligning these physical, mental, and heart to come to the door, to the threshold of the door, where Radha and Krishna can then, if they so desire, invite us in. And even to move through these other gates, the seed message is, we require their mercy. It's not just a physical thing, or a mechanical thing. Because we've done enough of the mechanical to know it's not going to happen that way. Deepening our taste for the holy name. We'll end with one more little recital. This is from Raghunath Das Goswami's Stavamala, where he's offering a description of taste for the holy name. Take it away, team.
At any price. And then, at every moment, drink this beverage most fine, and make my heart supremely blissful, peaceful, and divine.
That's Raghunath Das Goswami's description of taste. And Dravida's poeticized appreciation of Raghunath Das's prayer. So I've gone way over time. What we're going to do is there's an exercise just to help us appreciate where our gaps are between having taste and where we are. And then there's time in the schedule for taking some of these things, trying to internalizing them, not just go on rushing to the next thing. Take a look at your notes or give thought or share with other devotees. Come before Radha Damodar and chant the holy name with these inspirations. And then we'll resume at whatever the time the schedule says we're supposed to resume. 11:15. Take them through the exercise, if you would. At the beginning of next session? Okay. Breakfast. And we'll do this little exercise after breakfast at 11:15. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.